Praise you, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The word of God says, the entrance to your word gives us life. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Lord, no darkness cover the earth and grow darkness the people. But we that are of the Lord, Lord, we have the light of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the tabernacle of the righteous, the voice of salvation and rejoicing. As the age closes out, Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. As we read your word this morning, Father, Lord, bless the reading of it, Father. Let it be mixed with faith in our heart, O Lord. And we go out of there, Lord, O God, more triumphant than we ever be, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk about the church and the birth of the man-child. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of the man-child.
Amen.
Well, the church, the word church, people think of many things. I know outside of this forum, they think a building and things like that, you know, that's not the church, you know. So, the word church comes from the Greek word, ecclesia, meaning which refers to an assembly or a congregation of called out ones. That's what the word church means. Comes from the Greek word, ecclesia. Well, that ecclesia word is not exclusive to the church alone. For example, it also refers to an ancient Greek assembly. In ancient Greece, it was the popular assembly of citizens, particularly in Athens, where it served as the primary legislative and judiciary body. Where in the Christian context, it refers to the church, either as a collective body of believers or a local congregation. So, also, for example, Israel was an ecclesia too, because they were called out, right? They were called out people. It's an ecclesia, because the Bible says in Acts 7:38, call them the church in the wilderness, right? Praise the Lord. So that what it, you know, so it's a call, the church is a called out body. And even individually, you know, we know 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, you see we are called, right? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. See that calling? You are called out of the world, right? Praise the Lord. You know? So this world is Egypt to us. So we are called out of it. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called, see that calling? You know? As ye are called in one hope of your calling. And even more scripture abound concerning this calling. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Praise the Lord. So we are the call of the Lord and something like that, you know. So see, so the church. So the purpose of this dispensation we are living in right now, which is the church dispensation, is seen in the divine program outlined spoken by Apostle James in Acts 15. We know in Acts 15, that was what the first, council of the church and so forth. Certain brethren from Jerusalem, you know, even in the other church, they have all kind of their troubles. Certain brethren from Jerusalem begin to tell people at Antioch, Christians at Antioch, that they have to be circumcised and to live like Judaism and so on. Paul and Barnabas say, no, it ought not to be so, you know, and there was a great argument and so forth. Then Paul and Barnabas say, we take this one to the elders in Jerusalem, the church leaders, and so maybe Peter, John, and some of that. So they come to this Acts 15 to iron this thing out, that we're not in Judaism. This is Christianity. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so somewhere in India. So I want to tell us the purpose of this dispensation in Acts 15. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was the leader at that time in the church at Jerusalem, and it's worth way much. So here is what he said, you know, in Acts 15:14. He tells us something about the purpose of God in this dispensation. Say in Acts 15:14, Simeon, this is Apostle James now, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now here's the key word. To take out of them a people for his name, talking of ecclesia, right? Take them out. You know, I don't know that thing. A people for his name. And to disagree the words of the prophet. As it is written, he is quoting Amos here. I believe it's Amos 9, as well as written. After this, I will return. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Verse 17. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who dress all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So the point I'm making here is this. So the purpose of this dispensation is the Lord to take out the church. In summary, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are not dispensation right now. Like no other dispensation at all. Now, that's one thing. You know. Now, the church was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That is in Ephesians 1:4. Let me read that. See? Now, Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, you see, you are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. What a deep thought. What a mystery and so on. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, see? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been accepted in the beloved and so on. That, you know? So before the foundation of the world, the Lord, you know, chose the church in him and so on. That, you know? Now, also not only that, just talking about the church this morning, you know, in the summary and so on. The church is the body of Christ. Many scriptures are bound to that effect. Maybe one or two of them. Ephesians 1:22-23. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, and there are many other scriptures that tell us that, you know, that the church is the body of Christ. I just read one of them right there. Now, right now, presently, the church is a virgin right now, espoused to Christ. As Apostle Paul, by revelation, gave it to us in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Many things about the church, right? She is a virgin, espoused to the Christ. Let me read 2 Corinthians 11:2. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So, and in Christ's day, in those days, an espouse was as sacred as a marriage. A spouse was as sacred as a marriage in those days of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was living here on earth and so on. So just a few things about the church. Now let's see the first Adam. Let me read about the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And we all know the last Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says by itself. 47. The first man is of the heart, happy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He said by himself, you know, praise the Lord. He has no special interpretation, no scriptures or private interpretation, you know, praise the Lord. Anyway, the first Adam had his bride, and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, must have his bride too, you know, praise the Lord. Don't forget that the Old Testament usually, you know, is a, you know, archetype, you know, of what happened in the New and so on. So the last Adam must have his bride. We are told how the first Adam got his bride. Let's get to Genesis 2. How did the first Adam get his wife? His bride. Genesis 2:18. I begin to read from there. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made it a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Praise the Lord. That's the first Adam, right? How did the last Adam get his own bride? I think he's going to get a bride, right? How did he get it? Now the Lord Jesus Christ abode alone during his life on the earth as a man. But a deep sleep, the sleep of death, fell on him. And out of his wounded side, as the result of the atonement he made on the cross, there came that from which the church was formed, and to which the Holy Ghost gave life on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Out of his wounded side and so on came the church and so forth, and the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost gave life to that, you know, to that church and so on, that, you know. As Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," so the scripture says of the church also, you know, in Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Amen. Praise the Lord. That's whom we are. Praise the Lord. Members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." The Holy Ghost refers back to what happened in Genesis and so on, in the first Adam and so on. Look at verse 32. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Talking this morning, the church and the birth of the man child and so forth. So the woman was brought to Adam, as we read in Genesis, and presented to him. But Christ will present the church to himself. Amen? And I wear scripture, Ephesians 5:25. "Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Verse 27, "that he might present it to himself." See that one? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise be the Lord Jesus. Just a few things about the church and so forth, as you know. Well, so this, you know, church being the body of Christ and so forth, to have a bride and so forth. Let's talk about the birth of the man child and so forth, you know. So now, Revelation 12, a couple of verses in there, 1 and 2. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in, you know, in birth, and pain to be delivered. The fifth verse says, and she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So we notice this woman's travail refers to the travail of the church, and the church Israel, as we call it, at the end of the age. You know, now you see that woman attacked both not only the church but even Israel also. Even the Old Testament gave this travailing and the birth of the man child, as well as the New Testament. Let us see the Old Testament version of this and so forth. Isaiah tells us of the birth of the man child when Zion travailed. Isaiah 66 verse 6. A voice of noise from the spirit. A voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. The same word that was used in Revelation, right? See? Now, who has had such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So don't forget in Revelation 12, we are told that before this woman travailed, she brings forth a man child who is destined to rule the nation with a rod of iron. So the man child comes forth. Then the children are those who come after that and so on, that, you know. So then, the man child in Revelation 12:5 does not represent all of the woman's children, as you can read, as I'm going to show right now. So now, for there is also the remnant of her seed in verse 17 of Revelation 12. Let's put it together. I believe verse 5 again of Revelation 12. She brought forth a man child, right, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, he says. Now verse 17 says this. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, see, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, the man child, however, holds the preeminent position. There was a man child, there was a remnant of her seed, and you know that woman represents the church, right? Also represents Israel and so on. The man child, the first fruit, is born almost before the traveling begins. The children, meaning the remnant, these are the remnant of our seed, the harvest, are born during the traveling, according to what you read in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12:5 again says this, as he brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman, verse 6, fled into the wilderness, where he had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. So the man child company, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, are the overcomer, really? They are the overcomers. The first fruit, Bible called them somewhere else. And they are identified in Revelation 2:26. I said they are the overcomers. Well, not I. The Bible said they are the overcomers. You know, who are to rule all nations. That is a lot of iron. And they are identified in Revelation 2:26. Wherein the Lord says, one of these church ages, and he that overcometh and keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shiver, even as I receive of my father. So the church breaking forth the man child and so forth, telling you of the different categories of people in God's, you know, in God's kingdom, and so on. That, you know, that the man child, the overcomer, and so on. That, you know, that the Bible talks about here, and so on. As the woman includes both the church and Israel, as I said before, so the man child company includes Christ in a way, in a type, includes Christ in a way, who came from Israel according to the flesh. And of course, the Old Testament, speaking of Christ in this manner, the psalmist, Psalm 2 verse 9 says this, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." These are prophecies about Christ, right? "Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Similar to what the overcomers do, right? So Christ was, you know, I would say, type of the man child coming out of Israel and so on. Now, however, Christ cannot be the primary fulfillment of this prophecy. You know, he fulfilled it in a way, but it's not the primary fulfillment of that prophecy of the man child and so on like that, you know. Why? Because, you know, this man child group, Revelation 12, they were, you know, their nation, you know, just before the, you know, their nation just before the great tribulation, you know, which is 2,000 years after Christ has ascended to heaven. So Christ started in a way, you know, but it's not the primary fulfillment of that prophecy of the man child and so like that, you know. So, but the hand is typing there, but, you know, it's not the primary one to fulfill it, because this man child group, talking about in Revelation 12, that is for 2,000 years after the Lord went to heaven in ascension and so on. So, anyway, nevertheless, in a way, our Lord Jesus Christ is the first, or the first fruit, anyway, 1 Corinthians 15:20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that sleep. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." In other words, Christ may be considered the first of the man-child company, but not the whole company really. The man-child company is caught up to God by rapture. This company is raptured just before the rise of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation, which is described in Revelation 13. So you see, the man-child is caught up just before the Great Tribulation and so forth, that, you know, and as mentioned in Revelation 13 and so on. So we find this company of people. So they are caught up to the throne of God, right? Where do we find them next? We find them in Revelation 14, or a representative of them in Revelation 14, talking about the impact of the man-child, right? So we find this company of people as the 144,000 standing on the heavenly Mount Zion and sang new song before the throne while the great tribulation is still on. So we find in Revelation 14, you know, a representation of this man-child company. And like we said before, they were caught up. Man-child was caught up just before the great tribulation, right? And right now we see in Revelation 14, a representation of them, you know, singing this new song in Revelation 14 and so forth, why the great tribulation is still on upon the face of the earth. How do we know that? That this is what happened. Why, you know, the tribulation, why they were taking marks on earth. Revelation 14 verse 3. "And they sang," "and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." See? They are actually a representation of that man child that is caught up, you know, to the throne of God and so forth. Verse 9 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship," you see, to show you that this 144,000 were there while the tribulation was going on upon the earth, while they were issuing the mark. Praise the Lord. The man child was translated just before the tribulation and the Antichrist and so forth. And we believe this 144,000 is a representation of that man-child. You see, because as you see them here, they were represented here while the mark is being given on us. So verse 9 says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the company of overcomers. You see, that they represent the man child that was cut off and so on. That is the company of the overcomers and so on. They are the first fruits unto God that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That is what Revelation 14:4 says. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. In verse 5 he says this, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without guilt before the throne of God. So we see that now the birth of the man child and so forth caused right before the great tribulation, and we believe these 144,000 are a representation of those that were caught up and so on, because as you will see when they were talking about in Revelation 14, the mark was still being issued upon the earth and so on, the time of the great tribulation and so on, that, you know. So it is encouraging that we are told in the epistle of Jude that if we contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the law will not only keep us from falling, but will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is Jude verse 4, right? Because the Bible tells us of this group that the same thing that happened in the Bible says he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There should be no confusion as to why this man-child company is also referred to as overcomers. Why are they called overcomers? Well, many names go to them. They are called overcomers. They are called the false fruit. They are called the 144,000. They are called the virgin. Or even some of them are called the larger saints. Praise the Lord. Many names to them. There are many names to them as well. Why is that so? Well, this is because it is common practice in scripture symbolism to call the same person by different names. Praise the Lord Jesus. We can summarize the body of the church and then the path of the man child in a nutshell, and we are able to identify them as being represented, as 144,000 and some of that, in Revelation 14. And so we see that called by different names, the fourth fruits, the overcomers, 144,000, the virgins and so forth. I say, well, no mystery to that, because in Bible days and in Bible typology, a person can be known by different names. For example, even our Lord has many names, right? In Revelation, he is called, spoken as the Lamb of God, right? Or the Son of God. The faithful witness, the Bible says, the first begotten of the dead, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty angel. So even the Lord has many, many names in the book of Revelation. Any wonder the man child is called by many names, the overcomer, the first fruit and so forth, 144,000 and so forth, So the first fruit company is called by different names too. As the various names of Christ show forth his different attributes and offices, likewise do the different names of the man-child company reveal the various aspects, his character and position. Now let's look at this 144,000. What does it really mean to us? Where? Is the number 144,000 actually the number? Is it a symbol or actual number? You know? Well, definitely it's a company of false fruit, which will be 144,000. That definitely will be a company of false fruit, which will be 144,000. However, this is not all the false fruit. For the Bible, there is a definite, 144,000, of this false fruit. But we know from the scripture, this is not going to be all of the false fruit. An example is this. There are 24 elders, right? That before the throne and so forth. And who are kings and priests unto God. They are not included in the 144,000. And there may be many, hundreds of thousands or even millions of others in the false fruit. So, we do not know. We do not know really, There are some sects who teach that 144,000, they put a number to them, these are all the number of the false fruit and so on. They are just a type for what you can see here and so on like that, So anyway, the 24 elders, like I said before, who are kings and priests unto God, are not included in the number. There may be millions or billions and millions of the false fruit, but we don't know how many of them. Now, another question is this. The 144,000, are they just only the one in the bride of Christ? Are they just only the bride in the brideship of Christ? Well, there's every indication that they are part of the bride of Christ, but they are not the only ones that are in the bride. Amen? Praise the Lord. The purpose of this is just to clarify things, to see where we belong in this instance. So people will be asking questions, 144,000 and so on. So are they all that are in the brideship of Christ? Well, definitely not. But they are part of the brideship, but they are not all of the bride. For example, we see Apostle John described in the book of Revelation, was not a member of the 144,000, as far as we know. We're going to say that Apostle John is not one of the bride. You see what I'm saying? These are clarification that where do we belong, and some people have to look for where they belong, in the brideship of Christ and so on. So we know definitely this 144,000 are part of the bride, but they are not all of the bride. An example is that Apostle John, who wrote or got you to write this thing, wasn't part of them, but who is going to say that what they belong to the brideship of Christ and so forth. Now, it is best for us not to speculate on these things and so on. It is enough for us to know that there is opportunity for all who will strive for the prize. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So don't call it off and so on. We don't know exactly, but they know they are part of the prize, that 144,000. But they are not, all of the bride of Christ. And I give an example right there. Apostle John, what he mentioned, 144,000. But you can see it's not a part of the bride. So the thing is this. So it is best for us not to speculate. But, it is best for us to pray. It is enough for us to know that there is opportunity for all who will strive for the prize. Time will reveal those who have won it. So we should all strive for it and so on like that, Like Apostle Paul did and so on, in the Philippians 3:12. Let me begin to read from there and so on. So no speculation about 144,000. We know from the scripture they are not all of the bride, but we know definitely they are part of the bride and so on, And all we can say is that there's opportunity for every believer, Praise the Lord to strive. Praise the Lord. I give an example here, Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press, see that one? I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Opportunity for everyone. Praise the Lord. Press towards it and tell that, you know. And we know that predestination, but that who are predestinated will press towards that mark. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We believe. Apostle Paul at length warned it. And here is his testimony. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, he said. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And look at this phrase here, here we go. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Opportunity for every Christian. Praise the Lord. But you must try. I must try. Praise the Lord. Don't just sit down, idle and so on. That will put forth an effort, not by work of your own, but just trusting the Lord as he did there and so on. We believe he at length won the battle, he has the crown of glory given to him, but not only to him, but all that love the appearing of the Lord. So we have to love his appearing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Loving the appearing of the Lord and so on. It is gratifying to note that he says, not him only, but will be rewarded, but all them also that love the appearing of the Lord. Let's talk about that appearing this morning. So, and because we love his appearing, we will keep looking for it, as another scripture admonishes us. So thank God we love his appearing. Let's see other scripture that talk about the appearing of the Lord. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's one scripture right there. See? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I know that scripture for many reasons. In one sentence, it told us the deity of Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I know, in just one line of scripture, it's the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so the Christian's hope is the appearing of his Lord, amen? At the beginning of the service, Abraham was talking about our hope, right? So the Christian's hope is the appearing of his Lord. The blessed hope is also a purifying hope. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. The bride of Christ is veiled from the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. They don't know us. They don't know the people. They don't know the bride of Christ. They don't know the people of God. They are veiled. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, you see, loving is appearing, right? When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That hope, you know, is pure and pure. That is, everyone who is looking for the Lord's appearing will try to keep himself pure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Indeed, the scripture even commanded us in 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, he said, neither the partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Every Christian has an opportunity to keep yourself pure. So, the blessed hope demands that you be patient. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now many scriptures bear that out. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, he says. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, he says. Now, this blessed hope demands that we be watchful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Talking of pressing India, Apostle Paul was pressing. This how to press India, this literally not just here. I'm reading here. How to press in and so. You know, anyway. It demands that we be watchful. Mark 13:35, for the master's mouth. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house calleth. As even as we sang earlier today, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Talking about pressing in, I think that the thing you do to press in, amen. Praise the Lord. Some of the things you do to press in and so forth, that you know. Now, if you are watching for the Lord's appearing, we will be careful of our conduct. Amen? Praise the Lord. We will not want him to come and find us doing questionable things or be in questionable places. Amen? Where do you go? Where do you spend your weekend? Where do you spend your day? And so on, you know? No questionable things or questionable places and so on, that, you know. We will not want to guard our money, nor spend our money in an extravagant manner. We will want to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Amen? How do we do that? By contributing to missions. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, missions, yes. Don't forget, Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations for a witness, in all the world for a witness to the nations and so on. Then shall the end come. Sponsor, if you can't go into India, you can't go to South Africa or whatever it is and so on, that you know. So, sponsor missions and so on, that you know. Anyway, so part of pressing India and so on, that you know. So anyway, in short, the blessed hope help us to cling lightly to this world, amen. Don't carry it upon your head. Praise the Lord. Lightly to this word and so on. It will not make us idle and negligent. That blessed hope won't make us to be idle and negligent. But it will fill us with zeal to be found a faithful servant at the appearing of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. You know, so anyway, so those who love is appearing, right? Now, this hope will also keep us from being ashamed at the coming of the Lord, the blessed hope. 1 John 2:28. And now, see, I said earlier on that 144,000, we began from the church, right? And how, the church came into being, went back to Adam in the beginning, and for the atonement of Christ came the church and so forth. And we see the church brought forth, the man, child, and so on like that, And we see 144,000 and so on. And we know they are just representation of the bride, not all of the bride and so forth. And we want to say that every Christian has a shot at this, amen? Praise the Lord. And what we are talking about this morning and so on like that, have a shot at this and so on like that. And we are doing, I'm talking about things we can be doing, not at work, but just the thing that the Bible says, Apostle Paul did say he pressed into it, and he has a reward, a crown of righteousness given to him, and the Holy Ghost not only to him, but all those who belong to his appearing, talking about all we can be doing to press India and so on. Anyway, and 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you see that appearing everywhere, if you love his appearing, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is some of the things you can do to, so you can press India. So anyway, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So if we are washing for him, and our house is in order, and we are ready to give a faithful account of our stewardship, as illustrated to us in the parable in Matthew 25, about the 14 to 30 verses, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. Praise the Lord Jesus. The blessed hope of the Lord's return fills the heart of those who believe it with joy. That blessed hope of the Lord's return fills the heart of those who believe it with joy. For example, look at the disciples at the Lord's ascension into heaven. In Luke 24:51, and they hear what he says as the Lord was ascending to heaven. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And the Bible puts amen here. Isn't that strange? When the Lord was telling them here that he was going to be going and so on, they were sorrowful, right? How is it now there at this particular point when he was going to heaven? Then they were joyful. Praise the Lord. Why were they joyful? These are the people that have been telling them that I will deliver to the hand of men, that he will die and so on. And they were so sorrowful at that time. But now, at the last time, when they were going to heaven finally, Bible says they are joyful. Why are they so joyful? That's why they are joyful. Anyway, so that seems strange, isn't it, on their part? For naturally, we suppose that his disciples, the pastor, will have filled their hearts with sorrow, right? But when we recall that as he ascended, two men stood by in white apparel and told them that Jesus will come back again, we can understand their joyfulness, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Loving is appearing and being joyful and so on. In Acts 1:10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as he has seen him go into heaven. So what I'm saying is, their great joy was the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why they were joyful, as he come back again. Isn't that the reason the Lord and even many other scriptures command us to rejoice? Let me finish with that this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we should rejoice. The Christian will rejoice no matter what we go through and so on. In John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love, he said. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, verse 11 says, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So you see, they were rejoicing because the Lord is coming. Those two angels told them that the Lord will come back again and so forth. So which we are commanded to rejoice in so many places in the Bible and so forth. I want to read a couple of verses about rejoicing and so on. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Ask, be confident. Ask, be bold. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Don't come as a slave. Don't come beggarless before the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are a child of God, beloved. Now are we the sons of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just want you to come beggarly and so on. You come boldly to the throne of grace and so on. Anyway, 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Even the Old Testament, 97 of Psalm, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, he says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. Praise the Lord. Captain it up and so on. They are rejoicing at the end that the Lord will come in again and so on. Even this hour, we can rejoice daily in the Lord and so forth. And I have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 here. Rejoice evermore. I want to say, rejoice evermore. Through thick and thin, amen. Praise the Lord. Through thick and thin, rejoice evermore. Then pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to finish in this Philippians 3:1 here, the last scripture I have here. You know, last scripture here. And it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. See? Finally, rejoice, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we just summarize the church, who she is, and so on. She's a called out one. You have been called out of the world, right? And your calling and everything. Make your calling and election sure, amen? Praise the Lord. And we see the church gave back to the man, child, and so on, that you know. The traveling and so on, and she was called to the throne of God. That is the rapture, isn't it? And we see there, you know, the 144,000 as a type or you know, part of that man that was caught up there and so on. And so that nobody will tell you that, you are not part of 144,000. So we know that they are just not all the false fruits, but every Christian has it. But we know the number of them, we know that. But every Christian has a shot, you know, at that and so on, an opportunity. I went through this morning, some of the things you can be doing. Apostle Paul says, I press into it and some of that, you know. So the price of the high calling of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promise of your imminent return. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we are not of them that have no hope at all. Lord, we thank you because we are called to be overcomer throughout the church age. You know, he that overcomes, you know, our many, many promises shall walk with me in white. You know, he that overcomes shall sit with me in my Father's throne, as even I overcame and I sat in my Father's throne. I want us to be overcomer. And thank you for giving us all we need to overcome. We overcome him, this wicked one and so on, the dragon and so on, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we thank you this morning for the blessed hope. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Help us to press on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to be discouraged now at the very hour Lord near is coming and so forth. Satan will set up discouragement. But to be of good cheer. In the world, you will have, you know, tribulation and so forth, not the tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our overcoming the world is the overcoming the Lord Jesus did for us. If we just accept it, little children, ye have overcome the wicked world. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, the blessed hope, and keeping our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to be, to serve the Lord without distraction. Now another scripture says, in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. And as you commanded us, Lord, account us worthy, Lord, to escape us all these things which are already coming to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord, we thank you for all our household, O Lord. As we did for Noah, O Lord God. Bible says Noah being warned of things, not yet seen. He moved with fear to the building of an ark to the saving of his household. So therefore, Lord, we believe God, Lord, that we and our household, Lord, will be caught up together to meet you in the air. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are believers, even so our children are holy. That's what the scripture says. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we still they have, O Lord God, when he made the petition to the two spies, he said, not only me, my father, my mother, my brethren, and so on, and we know what happened there. So our eyes are upon you, Lord, that, Lord, by the grace of God, O Lord God, we'll be caught up together with our household.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, this morning. We worship and adore you. So we thank you for the rest, for the new week, Lord. Lord, we set you before our face. Lord, the Bible says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So, Lord, ordering our steps. The steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of the Lord. So, order our steps in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Commit all our work to your hand, Lord. Bless the work of our hand as you have promised you will do, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, you know, quicken your children everywhere, Lord, in this hour of discouragement. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, you know, the Bible says, a trial that come upon the people of God and so forth. But we thank you because, O Lord God, there is no temptation come to all but is common to man. And that to every one of them, the Lord will make a way of escape. So we thank you, Father, that we are overcomers. We just accept it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for blessing us this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And in the praise to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the King.